Hello, and thanks for tuning in to this February 2nd, 2002 edition of Wally and Sage, Wise and Witty Travels. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to the Wiley and Sage Show with Dr. Diana Wiley, psychotherapist, board-certified sex therapist and gerontologist, and me, Bill Sage, alleged humorist. We're combining talents to bring you wise and witty journeys on sex and other subjects. That's right. We're exploring all aspects of aging with fun and wisdom. And now here's your host, Dr. Diana Wiley.
Good morning, everybody. This morning, we're going to be talking about a very provocative play that has been running in Hawaii at the Hawaii Theater, and it is The Vagina Monologues, and that's Bill Sage, my co-host.
Hello, starts with a V, ends with an A. There have been some commercials for that show, which I find hilarious. So
yes.
Even the lady gets a little squeamish about saying, I'd like to see the... I'm sorry, ma'am, Yes, I understand the trepidation. I was one who attended the show and was went from the zone of, can we say this out loud?
Yeah. Well, it's very good. You know, Eve Ensler interviewed a couple of hundred women, all ages, all ethnic backgrounds, different parts of the world. And she really breaks taboos by talking and talking and talking some more. And in so doing, she manages to strip the fear and shame from what she celebrates in the Vagina Monologues.
It's a very popular organ.
Yeah, well, how about, didn't I hear you say that, men...
They spend 9 months trying to get out and the rest of their lives trying to get back in. Yes.
That's it, I guess. Now listen, you guys out there, even if you haven't seen the Vagina Monologues, all you sports fans, stay tuned because it's very important for you to have this information. In fact, there were some guys interviewed after the show a few days ago. For instance, one guy said, it turned out none of the men polled for their reaction to the Vagina Monologues would admit that they'd rather have been home watching sports. They were actually glad that they attended, and it was illuminating for them. And one guy said, who knows? He was 55 years old. I might learn something. So if any of you saw the Vagina Monologues, whether you're male or female, did you learn something? I mean, this Vagina Monologues, it's funny, it's outrageous, it's emotionally affecting, and occasionally angry. And, of course, it confronts, and Bill, you alluded to this, lots of words we can't obviously say on the radio. And what it turns out that Eve Ensler, by writing this wonderful play, she takes these words and she demystifies them and disarms the words, and it would seem that in so doing, she disarms the audience. Did you feel disarmed, Bill Sage, when you saw
it? Yes, I started out as a trifle squeamish. My initial thought was, this is the stage equivalent of the chick flick, isn't it? It looked like the audience was about two-thirds female and one-third male, and a lot of the guys were either dragged there kicking and screaming squeamishly by their wives, or else they got tickets and were curious and wanted to see it. And a lot of the guys, the body language is wonderful. The women are sitting there just sort of, well, most of the women, a lot of the women are sitting like this.
Yeah.
Body language is arms folded. A lot of the guys, same way, sort of.
Uh-huh.
And I leave your body language be open, so I just put my arms down on my side of the seat rest, not gripping with white knuckles, but sort of going, okay, let's hear what's going on. And the opening monologue, where they describe several affectionate nicknames and slang and...
Yeah, all the words.
Except for one. And everybody in the audience, the Cetus Planet, oh, even this show, they can't say... how do you say this coyly? The C word.
Yeah.
And so.
And yet they did a whole monologue on that later.
But yeah, that's
once people were a little more comfortable.
That was very the strategy was perfect because by the time they get ready for the word, everybody this time is their sides hurt from laughing too much, along with the poignance and some of the violence that has been done. And then by the time there's the actress Michelle Shea. She takes over and she has this wonderful, just broad range of accents, and she just lets fly. It was almost like an Aretha Franklin. If Aretha was, all right, let's hear it, girls. Let's take the word back.
And
fellas, okay, it's your turn now. And by that time, I can't say it on the air, but let's say it was a large, it sounded like a cheer at a football game.
Yeah.
With enthusiasm.
Yes, and audience participation. So, give out the phone number early, because we're hoping that...
296-1420.
Yes. The Vagina Monologues. It has, it's playing today and tomorrow, and then it moves to Maui, February 7th, 8th, and 9th, with Brooke Shields playing the lead, and Shay and Carl, Amy Carl and Michelle Shay joining Brooke Shields. So we started out with Mackenzie Phillips here, and it's been Loretta Swit, and I have... While they can't be in studio this morning, I do have quotes from them.
Oh, do say.
Bill and I went to the media party. Anyway, the Vagina Monologues, the purpose, one of the purposes is to start dialogues. And that's what we want to do this morning, is to start dialogues. So we're going to be talking about female sexuality in general, too, not just the Vagina Monologues, although that's a great segue into female sexuality, of course.
This is sort of the portal to new life.
Yes. Now, do we have a caller? We do. So let's get our caller on the air already. Good morning. Oh, I know who this is.
This is Jimmy Borges.
Hi, Jimmy Borges.
How are you?
Oh, good. And we had so much fun last night listening to you sing at the 75th celebration for the Royal Hawaiian.
Hello, Billy Sage. Morning,
Hi,
Jimmy. Buddy. How are you?
Well, I'm just sort of going between the Royal... The Royal Hawaiian has a nice pink color to it, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Hmm. Well, that has to do with age. It's aging, that's why.
Ah, okay.
It's sun.
And I spoke to... before you got on stage, I spoke to Billy... I'm sorry, to Jimmy Borges, because you were quoted, and it was a... quite interesting, in Wayne Harada's column, as having to want to, you want to write a companion piece.
Yeah, called A Penis Profile.
Yeah, talk about that, because
I
think that's a brilliant idea.
You know, and Seth, and to be very frank, I haven't seen The Vagina Monologues. My wife did, and she told me, I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate it? And she says, about an 8. She enjoyed it, basically. And she told me about what was happening. She called me. She said, yeah, you're a vagina man. That's what I am, to her. But what I really wanted to talk about, the piece of The Penis Profiles would be just sort of a tongue-in-cheek piece, rather than being serious. The thing that I did want to discuss, I think I told you about before, is that I discovered really early in going back to the core of what we're talking about, that the female was the superior sexual creature. I found that out very early in life. And by finding that out as a male, it probably was one of the best things that ever happened to me in my life, in my relationships with ladies, because there was more of an honesty in my relationships, in every way, not just sexually. But I did realize that women were superior sexually from the standpoint that they were more orgasmic.
We get to have multiple orgasms.
Oh, exactly.
Not too many guys get that.
Yeah, some can, but not...
I do, too, at least once a month. Yeah. over the course of a year, that's 12.
Yeah, right, 12.
Hey.
But not at the rate that a woman can. Mm. And also, a woman can have sexual intercourse, and even if she's not particularly in the mood for it, or a man can't. And that's a very important point in a man, let's say in a marriage, and not all the time in a marriage that's gone on for a period of time that both people want to at the same time. Well, a woman can accommodate the man when she doesn't really want to. A man cannot accommodate the woman, not from that standpoint, from being able to penetrate, if he's not in the mood. So that in itself says an awful lot about the superior sexuality.
Not tonight, honey. I have a football game.
Yeah, not exactly. Not tonight, honey. I'm going to go to bed. But those kind of things happen. And I've found that a woman grows her sexuality and her sensuality doesn't diminish. Men supposedly diminish after the at an early age in their 20s, supposedly.
Yeah, but Jimmy, there's actually a trade-off. Because the older man can be a much better lover.
Oh, yeah.
Just in terms of what you're talking about and that you recognize that the woman can be superior sexually and can have multiple orgasms. But the man, as a man ages, he often becomes more romantic and he slows down.
Exactly.
And one of the myths of sexuality, female sexuality, is that the woman likes it hard and fast. And no, most women don't.
Just the opposite.
They like it slow and tender. And they like the man and loving and
caring. Sure.
Yeah. So actually, the older man and also the older man is often not so quick on the trigger as he may have been in his youth.
Exactly. I have found that to be the case. And not only that, there's also a sense of humor that can be found in having sex, which is really enjoyable because that adds other dimension. Humor in the sense that nothing is that serious. And
yes,
you can have an awful lot of fun.
And to be playful, you know,
sure,
a lot of
exactly.
Sexual relationships are not playful enough.
Exactly.
And even dyslexics deserve to have a Joe Blob.
Please.
Oh, that's very funny. Consider that stolen.
That is oblique.
Consider that stolen.
Is that oblique enough? A little humor? And I'm sorry.
But, you know, the reason that a lot of... guys can't get playful enough is that they get into performance instead of pleasure.
Perfect.
You know, like,
exactly what I wanted to
talk
about.
We've got a job to get done here.
Yeah. Well, that machoism takes over. And, you know, the man is always worrying about the erections. They're going to take care of it while it's still there.
Yes.
And so, you know, you go to work while everything is working. And you don't want to take the chance of having it not be erect. And they think that by fooling around and playing and not being overly, aggressive and not and having fun with it, that there's a possibility that you may lose it or it may go away. Well, you know, there's really no problem with having things, not even worrying about that, because it'll be there at the right moment when you have fun
and
enjoy what you're doing.
Of course, we need to add here that in the last 4 years, we've had Viagra, and that has been a huge help. For one thing, it's gotten a lot of guys in to see their doctors, and sometimes other things show up, like diabetes or high blood pressure. So Viagra is a big help, but the relationship has to be in good shape, because otherwise Viagra will be seen as a threat. Especially by a lot of women.
That's an interesting point.
Rather than as a salvation.
Interesting point. I never quite thought of that.
Yeah. So, but you are an enlightened man, Jimmy Borges, and you know, you seem to be so. I've had you on my program before when I was over at KHVH, and you know, you seem so well adjusted and so kind and fun and so talented.
I was very fortunate to have the right people in my life at the right time.
Yeah.
In every way, from my chosen life as a singer, and from the ladies who taught me sexually. And I say that sincerely because I was an 18-year-old man. I was a Catholic virgin for a long time. And I met a 25-year-old woman who took me to her bosom and taught me about sex.
It's a fantasy for a lot of young men,
yes,
I think, and you got to live it out.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson.
I bet you know. That is very perfect. That's perfect, Billy Sage. But it worked, and I was madly in love with her, but because of that, she taught me about relationships and what it was like to be a man, and also the fact that she was superior.
No, take your time. Slow down. You're okay.
But anyway, it was, I was very fortunate that way. And so my relationships with ladies after that was always one of great, first of all, great respect.
Great respect. And now you have been so happily married to your bride, Vicky, for how many years now?
Well, we've been together 20 years.
Wow.
Married for 15 years. And, it's just,
and
it's
I've
just
been, perfect. Well, we all had dinner together once, and I've been around Vicky at other times with the two of you, and it's clear that you're in love. And
even
happy.
More so. Even more so now than it ever was.
Even more so.
And still in lust.
And still in lust.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, my wife is... even more beautiful and more sensuous now than she was when we first met. And Vicky's in her early 40s.
Yeah.
And so when we met in her early 20s, you would think it would be just the opposite. No, she's more beautiful and actually more lustful. And right
well, now. Probably some, you know, there are many components to that would be my guess, but one part of it is that she probably has more sexual confidence
yes.
as a woman in her early 40s compared to when she was in her 20s. Jimmy Borges, we're going to go to a break, and I know you have to get on to...
I have a breakfast this morning.
A breakfast meeting or something. Thank you for calling in this morning. You added a lot to this program.
I love you guys, and you have a very, very important show that needs to be heard.
So you could try to listen on your radio as you drive to your breakfast.
I will.
Jimmy, before you go, one question.
Yes.
Can you name a six-letter word beginning with a V that ends with an A that means pleasure for both partners?
Let's see. Verbena.
Vagina. Viagra.
That's good.
Well, I was thinking about that condiment.
I know what condiment meant. It meant prevention of... Oh, never mind. Get me a breakfast.
Joe Blob. I will never forget that.
Poor guy's dyslexic. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to blame it on that. Oh, Jimmy. And
thanks
also for giving us so much pleasure last night with your singing to the big band.
Oh, we had a lot of fun.
Oh, and great dancing.
And for a good cause.
For a good cause.
My buddy was there, Barbie Benton, so it was really
and
nice.
And Barbie Benton and I had a lot of fun chatting with you, and she was with her mom, and I was with my mother-in-law, and we just had a good time. You're terrific.
Well, I will talk to you soon.
Thanks for calling.
Okay. I used to admire photographs of Barbie Benton. but only for the articles.
Of course. Bye.
Bye. Okay, now you all stay with us. We're going to go to our break, and we'll be right back to talk more about the Vagina Monologues and female sexuality.
The Wiley and Sage Show will be right back after these words from our sponsors. Please stay tuned.
UH sports fans, KCCN 1420AM.com is your sports connection.
To the game.
Listen to all the UH game broadcasts live.
To the score.
Get the most updated UH and national game results.
To the stories.
Catch the latest sports headlines. KCCN 1420AM.com has everything you want to know, plus UH game schedules and ticket information, all going out
to you.
Get it online now on the UH sports page, only at KCCN 1420AM.com.
KCCN 1420AM.com.
It's happening now on KCCN 1420AM. This weekend, the strange, the unusual, the bizarre. Is it real or just your imagination? Join Hawaii's own paranormal investigator and master storyteller of local urban legends, Glenn Grant, on Chicken Skin, the radio show. It's a Sunday night haunting at 8 p.m. on KCCN 1420.
The Wiley and Sage Show is back right now, and the phone lines are open. Feel free to call us at 296-1420, or if you're on the cell, star 1420 or pound 1420. Yes, indeed. That number once again, 296-1420. Love to hear from you. We have some wonderful things to give away. Matter of fact, we'd like to discuss the Vagina Monologues or any aspects of human sexuality. And if you happen to call, you will get a sample of something which is very nice called...
Samples, plural.
Samples, plural. That's right. I remember we were so poor when I was a kid, we had two dogs. We could only afford one name, so I used to say, here, plural. But sorry. It's not me. It's the caffeine talking. But we'll be giving away DeLube, a wonderful sensuous... Let's listen to some of these ingredients. It includes benzalkonium chloride, which is a nerve stimulant. Not dead nerve, but stimulant.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff. You can also go to the website, wileyandsage.com, and you will find out about wonderful things which are happening in the world of, shall we say, postpartum existence.
Well, you know, and the website is still being built, Wiley, W-I-L-E-Y, and Sage, S-A-G-E.com. So Wiley and Sage all together, lowercase.com. And all of the shows are archived. So if you've missed any of the shows or you're a new listener, you can go back and click on the date, and you can hear past shows. I have friends on the mainland listening, and I think even one in Europe.
Oh.
So it's really nice to have it all on the computer.
Do we have to change languages now, Teresa?
No, because all my friends speak English.
Well, otherwise, but, you wouldn't understand them. They'd just sit there and go.
So if you've just turned on your radio, good morning. You missed a wonderful call from our very own Jimmy Borges, a singer and human being extraordinaire. And he talked about, in his own mind, the superiority of women. Nice attitude, I would say. A lot of guys get...
Yes, dear.
A lot of guys get a little confused about... They'll ask the same question that Sigmund Freud asked after years of analyzing the female species, and the question is, what do women want?
And men learn the three most important words are not, I love you, but I was wrong.
Okay, you know what? Actually, that's a good thing. Now, here's one guy talking. I've read countless surveys saying that women prefer being held to sexual intercourse. I've heard from a respected friend that his experience has taught him that women wanted attention. Women friends of mine agree, he says. They define attention as eye contact, sexual intercourse, as much as men do. Some women enjoy sexual intercourse as much as women do, but it doesn't seem that all women do. Instead, it seems that they are more interested in something else. And what is that? You know what that is?
Money?
No, I don't think that's that important.
I was being flippant.
I know. So the McGill Report on Male Intimacy, I think, neatly summarizes male-female views on sexual relationships. Okay, so I'm going to be quoting from this McGill Report on Male Intimacy. For men, sex seems to be the supreme intimacy, while for women, sex is but one aspect of intimacy alongside of shared experience, depth and breadth of personal knowledge, exclusivity of exchanges, and a common concern for the relationship.
I can tell you, just as a flashback to the late 60s, I have lost my male virginity. But to the young lady, it was more casual sex, the old free love days. Of course, to me, first time, I imprinted on her, in effect, as a young, hopeless, love-struck puppy. And I remember the most devastating thing was triumph. Yes, I got laid! But afterwards, I wanted so much to be with her in an intimate relationship, and she said, I like you, but I don't love you. And that was a lot more devastating than, the guy conquest, because the epitome of the intimacy was the act itself, but the joy of looking forward to more intimacy, it was a one-night stand for her.
Well, that was the beginning of the sexual revolution where women were taking on more male attitudes. But in terms of what women want, and then this McGill report on male intimacy, a lot of guys say, well, you think all they wanted was more foreplay, but really they want everything. They want the touching. They want the eye contact. They want that kind of emotional intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of women will say, make love to me in my ear. Well, what does that mean? They want to hear
your tongue up.
It means they want to hear the words. Mm. They need to hear the words and the details, not just, honey, I love you, but they want to hear something specific, the details.
I find certain parts of you to be excessively attractive, darling.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, something like that. So, anyway, we're talking about female sexuality and male sexuality. And actually, if you talk about female sexuality, you've got to talk about it in context of a relationship, because that's true for women, despite your young lover years, so many years ago.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I noticed, too, I ever, take two, tongue work, okay. every once in a while in the checkout line, the Cosmos and all the women's magazines are right there. And I will pick one up because 10 certain ways to make sure he is yours forever. And it's the various so-called tricks of the trade and the various wiles and wily things they do. And so I'll pick it up and look at it. And it said the last issue is the 10 most overrated sexual things. And wonder what they think then. And guys say that eye-to-eye contact is really the thing that women like most. And this one woman came back and said, I don't know, it's overrated. It's really hard to keep your eyes open at the moment of orgasm. Look at the guy. You want to close your eyes and scream. But no, so he said it's more of a chore. And it's there are times to look, but times when you just have to let go. And it's hard to keep your, it's like trying to keep your eyes open when you sneeze, is what she said.
Well, there's a colleague of mine, Dr. David Snarch.
I like the name.
Yeah, it's...
You know my dyslexic friend? No, never mind.
No, let's not go there.
Okay.
He says try, if you really want to increase the intimacy, try keeping your eyes open during orgasm. And he calls it, wall socket orgasms, because it's somehow if you're looking at your partner with orgasm, and we're not necessarily talking about mutual orgasm, which is usually keeps both people.
That's what
you shouldn't
I was
try.
About.
You shouldn't really necessarily try for mutual orgasm.
What happens if it happens anyway?
Oh, if it happens anyway, it's lovely.
Oh, okay.
But you shouldn't necessarily try for it. Usually, you know, a lot of times couples will want the woman to have the first orgasm and then the man. But
ladies first.
Yeah, ladies first, and then sometimes the woman can go on to a second one after the man's had his. So it's very nice.
You guys are multi, and we're just
single. Now, speaking of orgasms, let's go back to the vagina monologues, because Mackenzie Phillips does an amazing thing on stage. I know you remember that, Bill.
Oh, yeah. The various types, as it were. And the stutterer? And I don't know. Are these covered by the FCC's ban on inappropriate behavior on the...
I don't know. We probably can't do...
One thing she didn't do was the Hindu tantric. Oh, my gosh, Connie, that is wonderful, yes. Just an observation. I don't.
Well, I have actually a little story to tell about years ago going to a Learning Annex workshop for women only called How to Be a Sex Goddess, and it was given by Annie Sprinkle, who's been in some erotic movies.
And all the men go, Annie who? Blink, blink. So
yeah.
Like, one thing which one of my, just I have to digress for a moment, because is one of my favorite ways to trap guys, and they know damn well what I'm talking about, since men are visual. Yes, we are guys.
Yeah.
And I say, okay, show of hands in the audience. How many people here know who Tracy Lords is? And you see, guys start to really stop, and they don't raise their hands. She was the famous jailbait centerfold in Penthouse. Her real name was Norma Kuzma. She did about 500 porn movies and was actually 16 when she posed, so she
right.
was under, and just...
So they had to pull all of those videos
yes,
later.
Everybody, all the guys knew who the guys, and then they, you see their wives, who's...
Yeah, really.
They, oh, never mind, I must have forgotten myself.
So this workshop was for women only. There were about 80 of us in this room at the Holiday Inn in San Francisco. And so Annie Sprinkle is talking about how with increased arousal... your voice will go up. So she had and to breathe, and it's kind of like breathe more. Like if you're a shallow breather to have better sex, you should breathe more. Fake it till you make it. So she's demonstrating, and then she has us all join in. So it's something like this. Ha, ha. There's a point to the end of the story, so I'm going to come to that in a minute. Ha, 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 ha. And I'm not going to do the full thing here, especially if somebody's just turning on their radio. What's going on at the KCCN studio?
As in When Harry Met Sally? I'll have what she's having.
Yeah, exactly. So 80 of us are doing this in full volume.
And the walls crack.
Starting lower and going all the way up. At the end, that was toward the end of the workshop. At the end of the workshop, we went out of it, and right across the way, parallel to this room, was a bar, and there were all these men lined up. Oh, what are those women doing in there? But I've had on this program, and in fact, she's linked on the website, WileyandSage.com. Lou Padgett is a friend of mine, and her most recent book is The Big O, about orgasms. And
you can just hear John Wayne. Well, okay, it's time for The Big O.
Yeah, exactly. But, and you know, it turns out a lot of women are not having the orgasms the way they want to. And if you're in a relationship... where you're either faking them, which is usually a huge mistake, because then, you know, you can't really work with your partner to have orgasms. But each woman's orgasms are so unique, they're referred to as orgasmic fingerprinting.
Such
Did
as,
you know that?
Well, I was never really dusting for prints at the time, but now I know. And on that strange note, ladies and gentlemen,
we're going to go to the next break.
But don't forget, our number is 296-1420. We'd love to hear from you, especially about the vagina model.
Yeah.
Anything to do with... Hello, welcome to Sex Talk.
And, you know, if you saw the vagina monologues and you have a reaction and you'd like to get some samples of DeLube, which is not yet available in retail stores in Hawaii, but it's a fabulous product, lubricant. So you stay with us and call in after the break.
The Wiley and Sage Show will be right back after a brief message, so please stay tuned to KCZN 1420 AM.
Tune in to Hawaiian Automotive 101 this Saturday at 10:30 a.m. on KCCN 1420 a.m. It's Hawaii's premier car care radio show. Tune in if you have questions about your car or just need help in getting honest answers to your automotive concerns. Host George Nita talks about car care and answers your questions live. Whether it's new car care warranties or how to keep your car running and looking its best, Hawaiian Automotive 101 is a show for you. That's this Saturday at 10:30 a.m. on KCCN 1420 a.m.
Dee Snider is the lead singer for Twisted Sister and also has a radio show here in Hartford. Dibble pierced his nipples on Dee Snider's show today. All right, how did you let this happen with Dibble?
The assistant producer on my show said, well, I think Philly's going to win. He said, I'll take the bet as a bet your nipple ring. Dan, you should have seen his eyes cross when that first needle went
through. No!
You were a man. No, you were a man, Rob. You were definitely
Didn't cry, didn't scream.
It's the Dan Patrick Show, weekdays, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and it's only on 1420 a.m. KCCN.
The Wiley and Sage Show is back right now, and the phone lines are open. Feel free to call us at 296-1420, or if you're on the cell, *1420 or #1420.
And we invite you to look at our website, Wiley and Sage. Find out all about the various products we have to offer, including DeLube, which we'll be giving away to people, several samples. It's a wonderful thing, and... aside from that, one of the good reasons for DeLube is for delight.
Delight. But, well, DeLube isn't quite yet available up on the website.
But we do have samples coming.
But samples would be coming.
Arriving.
Arriving. We're talking this morning about the vagina monologues, and we would welcome any of your calls if you saw the play, male or female, and you have any reaction to it. Or if you have a question, because we're also talking about... mainly female sexuality this morning. We'll get to you guys later.
She's a licensed sex therapist, folks, and she knows what she's talking about.
I'm a board-certified sex therapist, almost 20 years of experience, and I have a small private practice, small by choice, and if you're interested...
Jeez, I have small practice privates, too. Oh, wait,
I forgot the DeLube again.
If you're interested in some couples counseling... you can go to the website and email me. Click on the email and give me your contact information. And those of you listening, most people are enlightened about this sort of thing, but being a board-certified sex therapist, it's all talk therapy, folks. A sex therapist is not a surrogate. So most people know that, but I just wanted to clarify. Okay, let's since we couldn't have Loretta Swit, Hot Lips, in the studio with us this morning.
Attention camp compound.
We're going to quote her. And she said, it's not really a wow, it's great to be a woman kind of play, but you do leave the theater with a lighter, more free-feeling feeling about your body and who you are, that you can talk about your body and you can laugh about it. This is important. And Mackenzie Phillips said, parts of the production are kind of shocking, but it's also extremely funny and at times very sad. I mean, it has the whole range, which is why it's great for an actor. So there have been some 85 actors worldwide who have played the three roles that are up on stage.
One thing that I noted, if I may interject.
Yes.
Besides a lot of the hilarities, the most poignant and horrifying moment I thought was the... complete the withdrawal schizophrenia of the Bosnian woman who was raped. And this, I mean, these things happen. They actually set up stud camps for these soldiers, and part of the ethnic cleansing was to totally break the minds of those that they were eventually going to kill or let go. And to rape a woman with a gun. And these things happen, so you begin
to
wonder.
These things happen.
Why.
And because these things happen, and some 700,000 women are raped even in the United States every year, and we don't, you know, we have a tariff war going on, but anyway, that Bosnian monologue was very poignant, and the Vagina Monologues is the only show that takes money off the top. So then, for domestic violence, and V-Day, which is in this, has a website too, V-Day has raised $4 million for women who are against violence for women, against women. So that's very important. And
the sad thing is, you almost wonder, are there some people in favor of violence for women? Unfortunately, yeah. We got to get rid of those things.
We've got to get rid. And so we need to increase awareness, and we need to have more counseling for guys that get so very angry. Because rape, of course, is not about sex. It's about anger and about violence. It's so anyway, Michelle Shea, both Billy and I spoke to her at the media thing. And what did you do for her?
Well, because she's such a wonderful mimic, she did about four or five different accents so perfectly up on stage, and I just thought maybe she'd be easy to teach her the local sound in the Hawaiian, which would be Na olela meha meha o na kohi.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. So, which is the same
thing. And
you
did that so well. So she says everybody has their own experiences, and given the chance, they will keep you there after the show telling you story after story. And that's what happens. And she also said it's not only transforming for many people in the audience to experience the vagina monologues, but she said as an actor, just to do them is transforming.
The squeamishness, you know, like I was talking about, the initial squeamishness for a lot of the audience, even some of the women who looked uncomfortable hearing this on stage, you've got to get past the mental barriers everybody erects. You can't talk about this. And then, well, why not? Well, you just can't. That's just the irrational cringe factor.
Yeah, that's true. And a lot of guys are worried about going. It seems to be about 70% women in most audiences and 30% men. But the other actress, they're all just wonderful actresses. Amy Carl said, this is not a rah-rah anti-male show at all. She says that the monologues audience is a surprising 30% male. In fact, there's very, very little male bashing that goes on. As much as men might like to feel they're going to a female experience, I think that there's a lot on the show for men. It's like being a fly on the wall and hearing all those things that you would probably never hear your wife or girlfriend talk about. I think it actually opens up a lot of avenues of conversation between men and women. So Mackenzie Phillips said, she was encouraging Honolulu Mail, she says, bring your girlfriend. She'll be so excited when you get home that it could be a great night. I've seen men in the audience just laughing their heads off, having a great time. And you know, their girlfriends drag them there, and the guys might say, okay, honey, I'll do it for you. And then they end up loving it. It's titillating, yes, but it can also help guys understand us better as women.
Honey, I took you to the Vagina Monologues. Now can I watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah, we've got the Super Bowl tomorrow. You know, it turns out that a lot of women who read romance novels, and some of you listeners out there do, you might even want to call in and confess if you do, but if you're a guy in a relationship with a woman who reads romance novels, one of the things that you need to be aware of is that she wants to perhaps be undressed slowly.
Not a bodice ripper, but a bodice unzipper, perhaps. Take it off gently. Imagine you're Fabio. Practice the sound. I can't believe it's not bother. I want to feel the hua with love. Darling, now if I do this slowly for you, will you let me watch the Super Bowl tomorrow? You can read the romance novel.
But women who read the romance novels really appreciate guys who are into details and undressing them slowly.
Because if your woman reads romance novels, she's wallowing in the four-page disrobing scene. Getting there is not just half the fun, it's nine-tenths of the fun. So,
sure.
give this a shot, fellas. You want to catch the Steelers-Dolphin kickoff, you know, the game starts, what, about 2 o'clock? So all these pregame shows, I mean, you can probably get to first base while they're still talking about who's going to do the postgame show before the kickoff even happens. So the Rams and Patriots, you know the Patriots are going to get creamed anyway. I know a lot of guys, well, no, they're not, but so why watch the? Why not do something different? I did this one year, best thing I ever did in my life. I looked at my significant other and I said, honey, this is a Super Bowl. Would you like to watch the game with me, or would you rather go have brunch at the Hale Kalani?
Can't imagine.
That was a touchdown. And because the game was going to be a blowout anyways. I don't want to watch one team. The team got stomped, so it was several years ago. But it was the best investment I ever did.
I didn't
miss the game because I knew the game was going to be just, when they're one side of the only thing you watch it for is the commercials. I just taped and watched the commercials. Fast forward to the TV action and watch the commercials.
Sure. You, some of you guys out there listening who listen to
what?
ESPN,
heresy!
So call in and maybe you have a different...
296-1420. Hello again, everyone. Howard Hartzell speaking of sex. Go ahead. You know, the Patriots don't stand a chance. The Patriots are not the superior sex. Look at the Rams. Look at the name. I just had to do that. Super Bowl Sunday tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, we are talking about the vagina monologues. We are talking about other things this morning.
What else do women want?
And what else do they want? Well, women want, of course, most women, if you're in a serious relationship, want monogamy. They want attention. They want talk. They want romance. Now, next Saturday will be the last Saturday before Valentine's Day, another V-Day.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have a segment that will address romance. But we'll also have Dr. Barry Miller, who has an anti-aging clinic in Kailua. So we're going to talk about anti-aging.
So eventually, if you follow his advice, eventually you can just die of good health.
Yes, that's right.
That's
right. And you know what else he does for guys?
What does he do?
He does those hair. You don't need it. You got a lot of hair, but he does those hair implant thing.
I just need brain replacement therapy.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Wild and wacky, yeah, Billy Sage. So, yeah, women want...
Some of the myths you talked about hard and fast. Not really. Not to start with, anyway. I mean, it's like you start andante and go to fortissimo.
Yeah.
Build slowly, get to the climactic point. But other myths, you know, everybody knows that guys are dirty gutter snipes. But one of the big myths, women, even if they're alone, don't.
The feeling is by some, especially women, that if you're in a really terrific relationship that you shouldn't need to do the masturbation. But actually it turns out
it turns out
when you're having a really good sexual relationship, all of those sexual hormones are circulating in your body, and it's so that you're more likely to want to. But if you're between relationships, I think then it's especially important to do the self-pleasuring, and DeLube can aid in that.
Every 1,000 miles, change the oil, yes.
But in order to stay juicy between relationships, you really should, because use it or lose it. You know, for instance, for the guy, erections are good for erections.
And also I found out, I was surprised, that men who do not ejaculate on a regular basis tend about twice as much to have prostate cancer.
Yeah, it's very good to keep the whole internal organs kind of hosed out, as it were.
Keep it working, or it's not...
Yeah, all that internal plumbing. It's very good. There was actually a study done. Now, but as far as women and masturbation, according to most surveys, about two-thirds of the women masturbate at some time in their lives.
And the other third lie, as the science would say.
I guess. And it's interesting, too, because women who, say, have been sexually abused, and I've worked with women for 11 years in two different groups, and all of the women had some sort of sexual trauma in their lives, and so many of them were anorgasmic or pre-orgasmic. They hadn't yet had orgasms. So one of the ways that you begin... for a woman to learn to have orgasms is to do self-pleasuring at home. And most women will say that these orgasms tend to be more physically intense than those they have with a partner. And this may be because the absence of a partner enables them to focus more on their own pleasure. You know, women, so many women are socialized to please and to pay attention to their heart. Well, we want that. But probably the best lovers, there's kind of a back and forth thing where there would be times, for instance, when you're receiving oral sex, when that's a really good time to focus in on your own pleasure.
No,
and to
first
be very
thyself,
present.
Presume not God to scan, the proper study of mankind is man. Was that Milton Keats or Pope? I forget, but yeah.
Milton Keats, I think.
Okay. No, first thyself.
On that highbrow note, we're going to go to another break.
This is Master Something Theater.
Stay tuned for more of Wiley and Sage right after these messages here on KCCN 1420 AM.
Hey there, everyone. I'm Kevin Hashiro. The Wahina basketball season is in full swing, and Ben Skou's team is prepared for another 20-win season. Join me for the Wahina at home and Scott Robbs for them on the road as Hawaii makes its run to the big dance in March. Don't miss all the fast breaks, blocks, and buckets from now to the postseason. And it's right here on your home for Wahina basketball, 1420 AM KCCN.
Hi, this is Bill McGarry. What's on your mind at 4 o'clock every afternoon? Sports? Food? Where to go for a Palhana cocktail? Maybe it's news, politics, or just the fact that you're stuck in traffic. Well, whatever it is, you can bet that we'll be talking about it on the Gusto Files. Every weekday afternoon from 4 to 6. Guests, topical news, phone calls, and interviews. Everything, in fact, you need to live life with Gusto. So join me every weekday afternoon from 4 till 6 and live life with Gusto.
The Wiley and Sage Show is back right now, and the phone lines are open. Feel free to call us at 296-1420, or if you're on the cell, star 1420 or pound 1420. That number again is 296-1420. I know some of you are shy about talking about such things, but this is a show to try to break through those barriers.
Yeah, and just as vagina monologues hoped to start dialogues, and that's what we want to do this morning, is to start dialogues. And besides that, if you call in, you'll be in the running for
some
samples
of
Dalube. So I think we do have a caller. Joe, do we? Yes, we do. We've got Paula. Paula, I haven't sent you your book
yet.
That's okay. But I'm going to today. It's right out. She won the book last week.
And did she see the monologues?
Did you see the monologues,
no,
Paula?
I didn't. Thank you so much for the book.
Yeah, but I will send it to you. This week has been kind of crazy for me, and I need to get it in the mail.
There's no rush. I wish I hadn't gotten off into the tangent that I did verbally at
Well, this morning you're going to be concise, I'm
sure.
You're fine. And this morning you're going to be concise.
I'll try to be rather concise. I think I've had several thoughts, you know, as the show's gone on.
Yeah.
On the masturbation thing, I think there's a certain sadness about that kind of thing. And I think that if a person just is, waits until they're engaged in with a sexual partner again, I don't think they lose it. I think it's just like driving a car, or riding a bike. You regain your ability to perform. And I think it just, it's so nice to just have that kind of excitement and stimulation in the presence of somebody that you really love. And, I think people have their own, it's a matter of choice, really.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I do think that men should see the vagina monologues. I think it's a lifetime pursuit, I think, for both men and women in refining their understanding of the opposite sex. And I think that we're so much alike in so many ways and have so many of the same wants and needs, and yet the differences that we do have are good to be aware of. And I think that although women are sexually superior in some ways, I think, we ought to look for how men are equally superior, but in other, in other ways. And we both have, there's a lot to be said for both of us, and it takes, the coming together. And I think during intercourse, kissing during intercourse is really wonderful.
It's very intimate, and so many long-term couples say that kissing has gone out of their relationship that they used to kiss a lot more.
Well, you know, it seems like that's the crux of having a good sexual relationship, I think, is the emotional feeling of oneness and the spiritual bond. And it's something that does take a lot of communication and mutual appreciation. And I don't think it depends on any artificial formula like what they have in romance novels or a list of rules. I think it's just a real genuine, sincere feeling of love that's developed in a very holistic way. And it's like aging fine wine. I've been with men before who just, you know, especially when I was younger, who just want to jump into bed. And sometimes I was too nice. And I was afraid to say no because I was afraid of hurting their feelings, but they just weren't the man I was looking for. And there were others that I really wanted to be with, but I was afraid of letting them know and never had the opportunity. So, you know, I think developing a part of becoming wiser is developing good communication skills and the self-confidence to be able to be rejected if a potential partner is going to reject one. But I do think that I was wanting, you know, the ultimate thing of marrying the one and only, you know, the true love, the very idealistic view, and then yet the sexual revolution came on at the same time. And I do think that it depends on the woman, what the woman wants. Some women want it hot and heavy and fast and just sex for the sake of sex. And I think there's some that want it where men take their time, like aging fine wine, where it's the oneness, it's the talking, it's the sharing, it's the laughing, it's the showing each other that you appreciate them in big ways and little ways. And it's really a more holistic approach. And some women, I think, you know, sometimes they want it one way and sometimes they want it the other way, just like men. So I'm sorry, I'm getting on my soapbox and I'm talking
Paula,
too much.
You know, it's a lovely soapbox, and as usual, you're very articulate, and maybe it's just as well I haven't mailed you the book because you may be getting included with the book, some DeLube.
Yes, more tubes of DeLube. Oh, one thing I noticed quickly,
yes.
That you said, Paula, you were talking about they don't seem to kiss as much. I think one of the reasons might be because...
Oh, I didn't say that.
Or was it Diane?
It was Diane.
Yeah, I did.
See, men never listen either.
And Paula, I'm going to let you listen off the air because we're nearly through, and I do thank you for calling once again. You're your articulate self.
Well, thank you.
Thank you,
and
Paula.
Billy, I hope you let me know at some point what you were going to say.
Okay.
No, right now.
Okay, what I'm saying is the...
You listen off the air.
Oh, okay.
Actually, we've only got 3 minutes left. Holy moly, time is flying when
you're having
fun.
If
you look at the way men approach sexual intimacy, kissing is sort of foreplay. And once they get there, they're thinking, well, the kissing was what you begin with. And so it's hard because they're getting up to that ultimate pinnacle where, for men, the actual intercourse is the pinnacle of the intimacy. Whereas women are like, wait, it's foreplay, it's now play, it's postplay. Come on. And
yes.
A lot of guys just forget that. Oh, you mean you can do it during too? Ooh.
And some of us came of age when it was almost a religious experience to sit in the car
and make out.
And neck. Do you remember what Groucho Marx said about necking?
What did he say?
He said, whoever called it necking was sure a poor judge of anatomy. Now,
whoever got a necking was certainly a poor judge of anatomy.
Thank you.
Say it as a good way, you win $100. Oh, wait, that was Maggie the hooker. No, he didn't win $100. He charged $100. Why, this is an enrage. I've never been so outsold. You're like, where am I behind? I missed the sexual revolution. What happened in the sexual revolution? I got brought before a firing squad. I tell you, no respect at all.
Well, we have been talking this morning about the vagina monologues, and just remember that your sexuality is a lifelong work in progress. Your journey of sexual self-acceptance has no specific endpoint. Where you are now is a starting place for where you will go, and where you will go always will be another starting place, and you'll find your way as you go, so enjoy.
Indeed. If you lived here, you'd be home by now. We'll see you next week. So to everybody out there, aloha.
Aloha.
Friend. And don't forget, catch us on the web at wileyandsage.com. Ahui ho. And we can talk to everyone about this stuff. Remember, keep calling. Coming next week, you guys, call us up, okay?
What's the number? 296-1420. We're going to be back. And, hey, when you watch the Super Bowl tomorrow, don't forget your honey, the one bringing you the beer, because she loves you too. That's why she's bringing you the beer. So, when you get through grinds, don't forget after the post-game show. Ahoy-ho.
Thanks for listening to Wiley and Sage Wise and Witty Journeys. Please tune in next week for more laugh-out-loud laments, observations, moans, and groans, all of which add up to the perfect antidote for the age depressed. Until next week, keep your chin up and your feet happy.
Oh, I love it, love it. Happy feet, da-da-da, happy feet, da-da-da, happy feet.